This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840. Now, back to more Trivia Friday.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman. I am joined in studio by J.J. Jasper, a regular on Trivia Friday, one of our founding professors, and our rookie professor, Mark Ose, who is handling his teaching load just fine.
Oh, thank you.
It's what we would expect from the son, literally the son of a rocket scientist.
Well, I might say you're sitting very well, too, sitting in for Tim Wildman.
Well, hey, I can sit. I can do that with the best of them, I'll tell you that. All right, it's Trivia Friday, 888-589-8840 is the number to call if you want to get on the show. We go back to the phones. We go to North Carolina, and Roger is on the line. Roger, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you're sure welcome. You want to ask, answer, or do both, Roger?
Both.
All right, which question you want to try to answer?
The Lombardi question.
All right, here you go.
Here you go, Roger. What NFL team did Vince Lombardi coach after leaving the Green Bay Packers?
That'd be the Washington Redskins.
Hey. Whoa! More cowbell.
Not only did you get it correct, but you just won yourself a CD, The Hilarious Highlights of Learning University, Volume 2. What do you think about that, Roger?
That's fantastic.
Congratulations.
I'm waiting for somebody to say, what, a CD? How about a car or trip to Hawaii? But
well, you can use that as a coaster. So after you get through listening to it a few times, you just put it on the end table there, and it doubles, you know, for a coaster.
Keep from getting a water ring on your wife's furniture. All right, Roger, great job. Are you a football fan? Did you have to look that up? Did you remember or what?
I remember it. I didn't have to look it up. One of the quotes that Lombardi said that I thought was great was, it's not that practice makes perfect. He said, perfect practice makes perfect.
Oh, right. Yeah, he was an iconic coach in the NFL, and I remember him, and I remember when he went to the Packers. To the Redskins. Just didn't seem right to see him, but that's what happens in sports. People go from team to team.
So. Lombardi with those great quotes, and then I'm trying to think of the other coach with the gravelly voice that just quoted so much. Lou Holtz.
Oh, Lou Holtz.
Love seeing those quotes from Lou Holtz. They brought us a lot of good wisdom.
That's right. All right, Roger, you have a question for us?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Name a high school in North Carolina, or anywhere, I guess, that's named for a foreign military unit.
That's named for a foreign military unit. All right. So you're not talking about the mascot. You're talking about the school's name, right?
The school's name, not the mascot.
Okay, what kind of French Legion things? What is it that we've got in this country? You know, I don't like a Green Beret or something. I'm just thinking out loud. That's in another country that we adopted that name.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. You know, what maybe Centurion from Roman army.
That's good thinking, because I couldn't think of any other. Military units from other countries.
I'm thinking some phrases
Royal
that we
Guard.
Use every day that...
The gendarme or whatever they, however you pronounce in the French.
I'm going to go with the Canadian Mountie high school there.
And I'm going to go with Centurion. Mark, you got a guess?
No, I don't.
All right. Roger, I think you got us on the run here, brother. You're going to have to give us the answer.
All right, it's 71st High School in Fayetteville, my alma mater, and it's named for the 71st Highland Scottish Regiment.
No kidding.
Now, what were they? What were they famous for?
Bagpipes.
Well, they fought with Cornwallis against the Americans. One of the last battles they participated in was the Battle of Guilford Courthouse near Greensboro, North Carolina.
Okay.
And wow.
So many of their relatives were in this particular part of Cumberland County that they named the township 71st Township, and the high school took the name of the township 71st.
Huh.
So 71st High School.
That is really
a lot of good history there from the Highlands. That makes me want to go out and get a kilt and start wearing it, but just around the house.
Just around the house. Well, what's the fun of that? So, all right. Hey, Roger, thank you so much for listening, and thank you for calling in on with us, sharing your knowledge on Trivia Friday.
Thank you for having the show on. It makes things a little bit lighter and just fun.
That's why we do it, Roger. Thank you for acknowledging that.
That is what it's all about.
Amen. All right. Apparently, we're going to stay in North Carolina here because we want to welcome Donna to the program. Donna, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, Donna, do you want to ask, answer, or do both?
You still have the question about the ship?
Yes, we do have that. Let them repeat the question.
Donna, what is the front of a ship called?
Is that the bow?
You're exactly right. It's the bow. Now, Donna, for extra credit and a chance for you to walk across and receive your diploma with a lot of cords and a lot of sashes around your neck, name all four parts of the ship, like the front, the back, and the two sides.
The back is the stern. The left is port, and the right is starboard.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, this coming May, at graduation, when you see Donna coming across the stage, you're going to wonder why she is heavy laden with all those sashes, and it's because of that extra credit she gets for answering that.
All right, now, Donna,
I've been enrolled for quite a while.
You've been enrolled. Well, good.
Yeah, been in since the beginning.
Oh, wow. Wonderful. She's right. The front of the boat is the bow. The back is the stern. Then you've got the port and the starboard side.
Now, do you do any sailing, Donna? Is that how you knew that? Or is it just general knowledge you've retained over the years? How'd you know that?
I don't know. I remembered it from, my dad always had a boat.
Ah, okay.
There it is.
All right. Good. Great.
Hey, Donna, people that have been boat owners, they say the definition of the word boat, it's a hole in the water that you throw money into.
Oh,
I think you're right.
You have a question for us, Donna?
I do. I have a baseball question for you.
All right. We'll give it a shot.
If you can name this player. He signed out of high school with Kansas City Athletics. He never played minor league ball. He pitched a perfect game with Oakland in 1968. He won the Cy Young Award in 1974. He won 20 or more games 5 years in a row. He was selected to 8 All-Star teams, pitched in 5 World Series, and was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in 1987.
Wow.
All right, we're going to talk amongst ourselves here. Now, okay. Now, if I ask you for a hint, is that allowed?
Yeah, I got some good hints.
All right, did he play for his entire career with the Athletics?
No, he played with the Kansas City Yankees.
Then I think I know the answer. Okay, guys, don't say yes or no yet. I'm going to say Catfish Hunter. Hmm. You guys have any other guess or?
Well, the name Sandy Koufax come to my mind, but I think he was Dodgers. Yeah.
I'm going to go with you on that.
All right, I'm going to say Catfish Hunter.
You're right, Ed.
All right, go, Ed. Well, I wasn't quite sure, but
my hometown.
Well, I wasn't quite sure, but I knew he played for the Yankees, and so when you gave me that hint, so I can't claim all the credit. You gave me the hint that kind of tipped me over the edge.
Now,
so.
I'm looking at the baseball card in my mind, and didn't he either have a Fu Manchu or really long hair? One of the ones
I think you may be thinking of now their relief pitcher that might have been I forget the relief pitcher's name, but he had. Catfish Hunter, I think, did have a
pretty bushy mustache.
He played for Oakland. But a bunch of the Oakland guys had mustache.
That's what it was. He had a pretty good.
I believe it was Raleigh Fingers.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Fingers had the kind of the long hair and then maybe a handlebar mustache.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Wow, Donna, this has been a good little baseball trivia. And again, that's why
he
we
was
have
from my hometown.
Well, that's why we have this show.
Really nice guy. Family's still there. He. Passed away from Lou Gehrig's disease in 1999.
Yes, I think I remember him dying.
So you knew him and met him?
Yeah.
Wow.
He grew up. We went to the same church.
Wonderful. Right.
Well, Donna, I don't know what to say about a lady who knows about boats and baseball. So that's
your husband's a lucky man. That's what we're saying.
That's a good thing to say.
Somebody call and tell him.
All right. Well, you give us his number. We'll let him know. Hey, Donna, thank you so much for being a listener, and thank you for calling and coming on the show with us.
Have a great weekend.
Wow, Catfish Hunter, hadn't heard that, or Raleigh Fingers. I hated when the Red Sox had to face Raleigh Fingers, but he was a great relief pitcher as well. All right, we go. We got some callers from Texas, apparently. Ken is on the line. Ken, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Thank you. How are you guys doing?
We're doing very good. You want to ask, answer, or do both, Ken?
I'm going to try both. I want to try to answer the Vandenberg question.
All right. Oh, goodness. I want to know the answer to this. Yeah. Here's the question.
What is the geographic significance of the location of Vandenberg Air Force Base, where they launch rockets carrying satellites? In other words, why did they build it right there on the elbow of California?
Does it have to do with the trajectory of the launch missiles? The test missiles not going over any other land?
You know what?
Except for where they...
I'm going to give it to you. Yes, the answer is it's the only location in the continental U.S. they can launch into polar orbit completely over water.
Oh, wow. Great answer, Ken. Way to go.
Great answer.
Excellent.
And Ken, let's see if you knew this. There's a launch scheduled for today. The launch window is between 11:30 and 11:44 today. And if my mother-in-law spoke correctly when we talked to her last night, she lives there at Lompoc. It's called a World View satellite that they're launching.
Oh.
And they'll be able to identify right down to the make of a car from space with that particular satellite.
Hmm. Wow.
Better not run that stop sign, folks.
Yeah.
The satellite will catch you.
You know, that is so interesting. You hear things and you go, man, what a connection. For the exact same reason they chose that site is the reason my relatives built a moonshine still in the same exact area, just in case that thing got out of hand.
It would only pop into the ocean. That's amazing.
And now, for those of you who don't know, JJ's from Kentucky. So when he talks moonshine, he's just talking family history.
Just kidding, folks. My tongue is in my cheek, firmly planted.
All right, Ken, you want to ask us a question?
Yeah, I'm gonna give you an easy one.
All right, good. We like it.
Yeah.
All right. how many of each animal did Noah take on the ark?
Okay, that is so easy because we've already had that today.
Today?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah,
oh,
we had that. It was two of each kind except for the ones that they were going to sacrifice, and they took seven.
All right, yep.
So all right, buddy. Right. Thanks,
so,
man.
It's hard for us to take a hand clap on that one since we already had answered it correctly. That's all right, Ken. We know the folks.
I'm in and out of the car all day.
Yeah,
yeah.
People
fine.
Do that all the time. Hey, thanks, Ken.
Right,
we appreciate
it.
Bye. All right, let's go ahead and just do our questions one last time, and then we'll continue on the phones.
Okay. Well. Let's go with my first question that I still have left. From the field of model rocketry, what do they call the short burn in the opposite direction after the initial forward thrust of a rocket engine? Next question, who was the craftsman, what was his name, the guy sent by King Hiram to Solomon to help with the construction of the temple? And then let me add another question, also from the field of model rocketry.
Yeah,
you can tell what I used to do as a kid.
You like this.
Yeah. What does the second number in a model rocket engine name or type designation stand for? Let me give you an example. An A83 or a C60 or a D12-8. What does that second number stand for?
Okay. All right, I only have two questions remaining. The first is, from the name of what Greek god do we get the English word panic? And then a baseball question, when was the last time the Chicago Cubs won the World Series? And I ask that because they've got to be odds-on favorites to win this year. They've got the best record in baseball, have a really good team. So maybe for Chicago Cubs fans, this might be the year.
All mine are taken, so I'm going to add one. She was called the First Lady of the Conservative Movement. She was a speaker, author, and founder of the Eagle Forum. She just recently passed away. Name her. I'll repeat the question. She was called the First Lady of the conservative movement. She was a speaker, author, and founder of the Eagle Forum. She just recently passed away. Name her.
And she was a champion, so... All right, folks, we go back to the phone lines. We just have 10 minutes left in class here on Trivia Friday, also known as...
Learning University.
That's right. So bring your smarts. Arkansas, Rick is on the line. Rick, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. Y'all have a good morning this morning.
We are. We're having a great one. You want to ask, answer, or do both?
I'll try to do both. Let me try answering that about the Greek god.
All right, here's the question. From the name of what Greek god do we get the English word panic?
Is it Pan?
It is Pan.
Nicely done, Rick.
And the ancient Greeks thought that Pan was the one who caused terror, and he was the one to whom woodland noises were attributed. And, you know, it is a little spooky if you're out in the woods by yourself. You do start to hear noises. It can get a little creepy. So the Greek god Pan is the one from whom we get the English word panic. Excellent job, Rick. Good knowledge you're laying down on our listeners. What's your question for us?
We're talking about moonshine a while ago. And if you remember the comic strip of Snuffy Smith.
Right, sure do.
Snuffy Smith had one child. Do you know what his name was?
Oh, Snuffy Smith. Long. Well, was it Moonshine?
No.
Okay, I don't know. You guys,
I remember the cartoon, but I don't remember the son.
You got us. What was it?
Tater.
That's right.
I can see that now. Yeah.
Tater. He had one hair sticking out of the top of his head.
That's right.
Tater. All right. Hey, Rick, thanks. Thanks for listening.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks for calling in, brother.
Have a good weekend, too. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right, we continue on. We'll try to get as many calls as we can in. We go to Texas, and BG is on the line. Welcome to the program.
Well, what a miracle. I haven't been waiting but about 3 weeks, but I finally got through.
Way to go.
Way to be persistent.
Well, listen, man, they took all the easy ones. They answered everything that I knew, and that wiped out my blackboard. But I've got one for you.
All right, good deal. Go ahead.
Now, the Lord put an awful lot of water on this earth when he made it, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
And we've got seas and oceans and creeks and rivers and ponds. But how many oceans are there, and what are their names?
How many oceans?
That's a many-part question. I've heard of the seven seas. Maybe that's the answer.
If you factor in when our plumbing broke upstairs, but I don't know if that's official ocean.
All right. Well, let's.
Yeah.
Let's,
how many would you say?
Let's talk among ourselves. We're just gonna name them.
Two obvious ones.
So Atlantic and Pacific.
Then you got the Indian Ocean.
Let's see what else is called ocean. The Arctic Ocean.
Arctic. So the Mediterranean is a sea.
Yeah.
And a bunch of those that I'm thinking are
oceans.
Seas.
Is there's not an Antarctic?
Oh, isn't there like a some kind of ocean name in
the Indian Ocean?
We named the Indian. Yeah. Trying to think of
Those are the only four I know of. You guys come up with any other?
I'm stumped.
All right. Yeah. All right, we're gonna go with four oceans: Atlantic, Pacific, Indian, and Arctic.
You've got that right.
All right,
wow.
We did.
Hey.
All right. We put our brains together
I'll give you a hint. There's five.
Oh, there's five.
we got those four right, but there's one more.
All right, what's the...
And you got one more, and I'll give you a hint.
All right. Go ahead.
What part of the United States are you guys broadcasting from?
Well, Tupelo, Mississippi.
The deep south.
I didn't say the name, what part?
The Gulf. The deep south.
You know, we got the eastern and the western and the northern and the southern.
The southern. All right. You're going to have to give us the answer.
Southern ocean. That's the other ocean.
Where is that?
Southern ocean.
Where's the southern ocean?
In the southern.
Well, I know. near what continent?
It's on. I cannot give you that answer because I do not know. I just
okay.
know when I was reading this the other day, I thought this would be a terrific question to ask you guys if I could ever get through.
Okay.
I knew about Pacific and Atlantic and the Indian and the Arctic, but I didn't know about the Southern. I remember something years and years ago, but that's too many years.
Okay.
BG, thanks. Thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend.
All right. We're just going to try to squeeze in maybe two calls. We'll see. We're going to go back to Texas. Cindy is on the line. Cindy, welcome to the program.
Well, hi, y'all.
How are you doing? We're kind of pressed for time, Cindy, so we're going to try to squeeze you in. Maybe one more. You want to ask, answer, or do both?
I just want to try to answer.
All right. Which one you want to answer?
I think it's Mark's first one about the rocket.
Okay.
Afterburner one.
Yes, from the field of model rocketry, what do they call the short burn in the opposite direction after the initial forward thrust of a model rocket engine?
Well, at the risk of sounding really stupid, but keeping it really simple, is it reverse?
No, it's not. But that was a good guess.
Good answer.
I got to say.
It's a good try.
I bet you didn't launch many model rockets as a kid like I did.
No, wasn't one of our things.
Cindy, I'm with you. I was afraid of fire. I was like all kinds of big, dumb animals. So I was afraid of fire.
And Cindy, I've got to ask Mark. Mark, you got to tell quickly. You guys were in the field shooting your rockets. You had a track and field thing going on. Tell us that story quickly.
Well, yeah, I had a hard time building a three-stage rocket, and so I decided to destroy it. So I put an engine in there in the first stage that had a delay, and gasoline in the payload compartment. We launched that rocket. It went way up, and instead of firing the second stage right away, it came way back down until it was about 10 feet off the ground. Then the second engine fired and went wham, and instead of sticking in like a spear like you'd expect, it hit the ground and bounced right back up, and it landed in the stadium next door, the high school stadium, where they were having a track meet. We didn't hear any screams or sirens, and I thought, okay, wow, we got away with that. Well, we heard the story later. Our rocket club advisor was sitting in the stands. He said it landed on the infield and it set up like a little campfire. And he said he just shook his head and said, oh my goodness, which of my idiots did that?
And then the NSA came to your door for a terrorist. Hey, listen, folks, we are going to have to shut down the phone lines and give the answers to our remaining questions.
All right.
So go, whatever you got remaining, let our listeners know.
That reverse charge is called the ejection charge, and that pops out the recovery system. Let's see. Who was the craftsman sent by King Hiram to Solomon to help with the construction of the temple? His name was Huram Abbey.
Huram Abbey.
Yeah. And then
one of my best friends in high school was named Huram Abbey.
My reading recently, so I just thought.
All right, my last question that's been unanswered. When was the last time the Chicago Cubs won the World Series? 1908. What you got left, JJ?
She was called the first lady of the conservative movement, speaker, author, founder of the Eagle Forum. She just recently passed away September the 5th of cancer at the age of 92, Phyllis Schlafly.
Yeah.
She wrote the book. She's the author of the book. It's a Choice, Not an Echo, that sold 3.5 million copies. They say the reason there's a pro-life plank in the conservative party today is because of her. In my opinion, she was the female version of Don Wildman, a true champion of faith, family, and freedom.
All right, folks, Trivia Friday is over. It's now recess, but come back, listen to more great programming on AFR.